Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here. So glad you're with us today with me in the studio. Again, for the third time,
Yay. My
friend Dave Hess from Christ Community Church, Camp Hill, Pennsylvania. Thanks for being here, Dave.
Great to be here, Larry.
Well, I'm going to really turn you loose here today. Okay. I'm really excited about this. We're going to talk about the role of women in leadership, role of men in leadership, how they walk together, what you've learned over the years, kind of how you grew up and how things mm-hmm. have changed and your understanding.
Yeah.
We've all gone through a lot of that metamorphosis. And again, this book, Side by Side, is a must-read, highly recommended, Women and Men Leading Together in the Church, David mm-hmm. Hess. Get that on Amazon, and get that or wherever you buy books, or get the information off of the show notes we have here. Dave, I'm going to turn you loose. Tell me why you wrote this book. Tell me your story.
Yeah. Two events happened that stand out to me as gearing me this way. One is my wife, just amazing. She's just who she is, and prophetic and kind and courageous. Just think the world of my Sherry. We were married at 21, and shortly after we were married, she applied for a job in our local town to administrate, which she's so good at, administrate their parachurch ministry. We moved all her stuff into the office. She was so excited. I got a job and have my own office. And I called her family and took a picture of the office and all that. Next day, she went into the office to start her first day of work, and there was a note on the door that said, please get your stuff and go home. You're fired. She worked for that ministry not even a day. And there was no explanation, and no one else was in the office. She called me, and I came in with the same box and packed her up and moved her home. So then I called the board director, and he kind of hem-hawed around and said, well, to tell you the truth, we weren't feeling good about it. We made the decision too quick. I said, come on, there's something else going on here. He said, well, okay. The pastor of the church that supports us with the largest sum of money was away on vacation. He came back. We told him we had hired your wife. He said, a woman cannot be in that position. And if you have a woman in that position, I'm going to withdraw all my money.
Oh, my.
So I got my first taste of an attitude, a philosophy mm-hmm, in the mm-hmm, church mm-hmm. toward women in leadership. Second event, a couple years later, our daughter was born. And of course, that was in the days where you didn't know if you're having a boy or a girl,
right.
You know, and so you find out at the birth, there, my little girl popped into the world. And after they cleaned her up, I put my little finger out toward her hand and she grabbed it and held on to it. And I found this prayer just come out of my spirit. I said, Bethany, whatever gifts, whatever dreams he has for you, by the grace of Jesus, I want to do all I can to see you fulfill every one of those dreams. Beautiful. And it started me on a journey to see both men and women as hugely created, gifted artwork by God that we want to see fulfill fully, be fully alive, mm-hmm. be fully who they are. That's been my motivation. So it wasn't a motivation. It wasn't out of a women's lib kind of thing of bashing men, putting men down to bring women up. Right. It wasn't a militant thing. It was very much out of mercy and a desire to see the women in my life, my wife, my daughter, be all they can be.
Mm.
But there were so many other things I had to unlearn and readjust, and scriptures mm-hmm. that said, don't, can't, won't, never, over my dead body, let a woman do this.
Sure. Could you talk about how you process some of those scriptures?
Yeah. I very much am walking the fear of the Lord with the Bible.
Right.
I have never wanted to say, oh, the Bible says this glibly. I want to really make sure I've researched it. So even though these things were stirring in me, I was processing them for years.
Sure.
But I guess the process was step back, read the Bible as a whole revelation of the heart of God. Cover to cover, what does he say? What's his heart toward women? Because I had seen those verses, particularly 1 Timothy 2. I don't allow a woman to preach or have authority over a man in all the churches. That one stuck out, and that's the one that everybody would quote. Actually, I believe it may have been a part of that letter on, or that, not the letter, but the pastor's reason for not wanting Sherry the position, you know. Mm-hmm. And I get it. It's a verse in the Bible.
Sure.
But verses out of context have been used to do all kinds of things, from justifying slavery in American history to condoning, you know, oppression, etc.
Right.
So, but as I got into the Bible, when I saw at the very beginning, I felt like the Holy Spirit took me into an experience with the Word. I felt like he was saying, okay, let's go there to creation. And right from the start, and then he just said, just stay here for a while. So I just spent months and months just meditating on creation and what that creation encounter must have been.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing the first name of God, Elohim, is a plural noun, but it's singular. It's the Trinity. And let us make them. And I saw this. There's a poem I heard somewhere back the line, God was lonely, so he said, I'm going to make me a man. Well, I don't think out of loneliness God created us. I think this was this joyful, creative time. And I see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together going, let us. We enjoy this us, don't we? Yeah. Mm. Well, let us create them so that they can enjoy themness like we enjoy usness.
Right.
And so they're, and in our image. And so I see this wonderful thing. And I learned that Eve didn't just come out of the rib. Actually, the word is side. The rib isn't a good translation. It's the word side. So it's like Adam was split in two. I said humorously, God's the first one to split the atom. And when Adam awoke, he makes this statement. He explodes. He says, whoa, you are bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, which I often thought sounded like a pirate would say, bone of me bone, flesh of me flesh. You know, but Adam was saying, whoa, you are just like me. We have so much in common.
Right.
So bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh means I've been naming animals all day long. I've been seeing, and this is not like that. Whoa, this is you. We have so much in common. So this thing of men are from Mars and women are from Venus and we're worlds apart, it really is not true.
That's correct.
We have so much in common. I don't even like the phrase opposites attract. I think we're birds of a feather and we flock together. We have much more in common than we, and uniqueness is wonderful. But that's where it started. But I found out, and I bought in researching for this book.
Sure.
We have a whole section downstairs that my wife dusts and cleans and says, what are you going to do with this? But I have over 200 books on this topic, and they're all over the map.
Yeah.
They're all over the map. But the ones that advocate women stay in your place, which is subservient and silent.
So wrong.
They typically start with Genesis 3:16 as the starting place of creation.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually have the audacity to say, and this is repeated in many books, they say that God created it this way knowing it wouldn't work, with them ruling together.
Really?
Yes. That it actually God said, okay, we tried it. I knew it wasn't going to work. I just wanted to prove the point because here's how it really is. Genesis 3:16, God said, after the fall, your desire will be for him and he will rule over you. Now, at surface study, or just glance of that, it sounds like the ultimate male world. She's going to desire me, and I'm going to rule over her. Closer examination. Number one, it's written like a lament. It's written like a Hebrew lament. Mm-hmm. God was weeping when he said that. It's almost written like a poetic song. Mm-hmm. God's weeping over, oh, what I created you to be, you fell, which I believe ultimately they fell for the lie.
Right.
That they could live life on their terms.
Correct.
Without God.
Hi, Larry Kreider here. Before we continue with the episode, I want to announce my new segment, Ask Larry. It premieres in season 3 of the podcast. I want to hear from you. Starting next season, I'll be answering your leadership questions and covering the leadership topics that you want to hear about. To submit your questions, visit the show notes and click the link below. And as always, thank you for listening. Now, let's get back to the episode.
Desire is, well, rule, should start with that one. Rule means to oppressively dominate and intimidate. It's a toxic relationship. Man, because of sin, because of selfishness, in sin and in selfishness, man will seek to dominate women. And women, the desire isn't just fawning over what a great man. It's a desire for revenge. Mm-hmm. It's a resentful desire to get even. And so what's described there isn't us, them, ruling together. It's this vicious cycle of struggle for power and prominence and dominance. It's a selfish hot mess. And God said, because of sin, that's what happened. But I've read book after book that said, this is how it should be. Men rule, women desire. It's so wrong.
Yeah, so wrong.
You can either start the jacket with the right button or the wrong button.
Right.
If you start with Genesis 3:16 as the way God wants it, you mess up as you read through the Bible.
Got it.
And you miss, because if you start with the first one, this is how I designed it to be, then you look at men and women in the Old Testament working together, moving together. Probably my favorite one is Deborah and Barak in the book of Judges. Mm-hmm. How they just flowed together. They weren't married to one another, but they had the blessing of their spouses to serve together in the purpose of God.
Mm-hmm.
And in a paraphrase, I did a lot of study on that passage. I do a paraphrase of that passage in the book, but what I can recollect now is this. Deborah called forth Barak into his identity. You're valuable. God's called you.
Yes.
I call you forth. He, in turn, did the same to her.
Yes.
And then he made the statement, I'm not going without you. It's such a picture of how God designed his sons and daughters to move and operate together in the kingdom.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, look, talk to us more. What someone listening today, a woman of God, call of God in her life to be used of the Lord, to serve alongside men. She might be in a setting where they don't see it like that.
No.
What do you recommend she does?
Well, the overriding thing for us in any situation is to love the people we're with and to pray for them and to be gracious and not to fight and clamor. Nobody wants to fight for their place. So you pray for them, pray for their eyes to be opened. I believe people were praying for me.
Yeah.
And my eyes got opened.
Yeah.
And I see things differently now. And I think there's a way to process this. You know, in the social media age, man, we've not learned how to speak. We found our voice, but we've lost our tone.
Yeah,
it's just terrible the way we speak to each other.
True.
And but I think there's a way to process, to appeal, to sit down. Anybody fighting for a position is not healthy. So
I had a bigger question for you.
Yeah.
Many men listening today.
Yeah.
And how do they make room for women of God? How do they welcome women of God?
Right.
How do they become proactive? Because I've talked to so many women over the years who felt like they were not invited to the table.
Right.
So what do they do to invite women of God to the table so that you can have that experience you talked about with mm-hmm. Deborah and Barak. And mm-hmm. talk to us about that.
Yeah, I do think we need to work with our interpretation of Scripture. And the church I pastor now, I've been there for 35 years.
Yeah.
When I came on staff, it was an all-male leadership, mm-hmm. only male. By the bylaws, only men mm-hmm. were allowed to lead, to be elders, to be board members, be pastors, and actually to serve as deacons. Women had to serve as deaconesses. Women could only be in the deacon ministries in the church if they were married to a deacon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they almost humorously said, if you were married to an elder, you were an Eldorado. So, which we found later really was hurtful to a lot of the women, because it's, well, where's that in the Bible? You know, it's, yeah. it's a car, but it's right. Who am I? We spent, and this is how the Lord led us.
Sure.
As these convictions were growing, I told about the early stories, but then right. as I started this journey through the Word, and my Bible became a pop-up Bible, and suddenly I saw women working and moving and serving and ministering, and then of course there's no denying in Jesus' day how he honored women, and women
exactly.
were his disciples too. They supported his ministry. They were active.
Exactly.
He never taught in the restrictive areas where women couldn't come. He was there. They had zones where women and children couldn't come, and the Pharisees loved to hang out there.
Right.
Jesus said, "Suffer not the children to come." He loved to go to those places. Bring everybody in.
Yeah.
So he was breaking down attitudes toward dividing gender and dividing mm-hmm. generation.
Yes.
All come.
Yeah.
I started to see that. I appealed to our all-male leadership. Now, at that time, I was the youngest elder. And that was a whole leadership learning
that
thing.
Was
how
huge.
How do you I consulted with Timothy a lot in the Bible. How do you, as a younger man, deal with older men? And I appealed. I said, "Can we go on a journey?" I said, "Let me tell you where I'm at. I'm in a place of conviction that women can lead, and it's biblical, mm-hmm. and that women can lead ministries, and women can be pastors.
Right. Correct.
That the elect lady that John wrote to mm-hmm. was possibly an apostolic leader of a
right.
house church network.
Right, I agree.
And that Romans 16, one-third are women who were leaders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if that's there, why would Paul say keep the women silent in the church
right.
if he was honoring them for their ministry, mm-hmm. unless they were mimes? You know, so I said, "Can we go on a journey?" And I felt the Lord said, "David, don't rush this. Don't force this.
Mm.
Walk with these men honorably. Pray through it. Talk through it. Even intense dialogues. Go through it. Work through it. Pray a lot." It took us 3 years to come to a conviction as an all-male eldership team that the Bible indeed endorsed, and not only endorsed, but encouraged and promoted women to lead with men.
Beautiful.
But we took time.
But after 3 years, there was complete agreement?
We didn't lose any elder.
Wow.
Yeah. Ironically, in our setting, we had some opposition from women.
Yeah.
And then one woman admitted to me, she said, and she was married to an elder, she said, "You know, I have liked through the years that because he's an elder, I can have input to the eldership. And then if it doesn't work out right, I can say,
yeah,
the guys did it."
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I've told this story often, but what happens in elders' meetings when they're just men elders, and so the men pray and they get together and discern what they should do and move forward. They come up with decisions. Next month or a couple weeks later, when the elder team comes back together again, because they're just men, you know what happens.
Oh, yeah.
One elder says, "I really sense God saying something different than what we're saying." Well, it wasn't that he sensed God saying something different. His wife had the truth,
Bingo.
And she told him.
Yes.
He brought it back. And that was really what was going on, because there was not an honoring of the voice of the Lord through women who are genuine elders in the local church, and not acknowledging of who they were.
Yeah.
And I don't think at all that every man who's an elder, his wife has to be an elder, or every
no.
woman who's an elder,
no.
her husband needs to be an elder.
No.
But I think sometimes Priscilla and Aquila certainly shared that role together.
They did.
And I think there's many, many others who do. But I just think we need to be be real sometimes about these things.
Yeah.
Because we're still getting the wisdom from God through women.
Exactly.
And it's just coming in the back door. Let's just come in the front door.
Amen.
Let's be, pray together, be real together, honor one another. We as a movement a few years, we grappled with this for years. And as a movement a few years ago, at one of our international leadership conferences, Dave, I publicly said very clearly, I want to be very clear to everyone here, and this is backed by our whole international leadership team, that we believe in women and eldership and leadership in the local church and apostolic leadership.
Wow.
There are women called by God. Would anyone have any questions about where we stand on that? And something broke in the spirit.
That's powerful.
Because here's what happened to me. I'd go to other nations, and I'd meet women who are missionaries with denominations that do not believe in women in leadership, yet they were apostolic leaders. They were pastors.
Yes.
You know, they were elders in a faith. They were doing it there. And because they were overseas, outside of America, the denomination just looked the other way.
Yeah.
These are powerful women of God.
Uh-huh.
But back home, they weren't allowed.
Back home, not.
So that's why we need to open the door wide. And I believe to honor women in our midst, we need to not only open the doorway, but welcome them in, because they need to be welcomed in. Men took it for granted that they were welcome for years, but be welcomed into those roles as God calls them in that way.
Yeah. Welcomed in is huge.
Yeah, it really is.
They will not take a seat unless they're welcome.
Yeah, they will not usurp authority.
They don't want to usurp
authority.
Grace
on their lives.
Right.
Exactly.
That's right.
So what more do you want to tell us today? Obviously, everybody needs to get the book. Read the book.
Yeah,
it's a great book.
There's a whole chapter on the First Timothy 2 verse.
Explaining and all those things.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know if I'd do it justice right now trying to pack that in. But
chapter 8.
Yeah.
1 Timothy 2:11 to 15 in context.
People that buy the book often go right to chapter 8.
Do they? Yeah.
Because that's why they want to. Yeah. But it's actually like three books in one. It's the biblical study is the first part of the book. The second part is surveys of different women in leadership around the world and what their experience was like and what they had to learn. And then the third part is how we as a church processed it.
Right.
The good,
right.
the bad, the ugly.
Yeah.
And there was ugly too.
You have the tale of two women. Do you want to talk about them at all?
Well, yeah, those are two women in history and what they had to walk through. And the one, Anne Hutchinson, mm-hmm. she especially impressed me. Anne Hutchinson was in the Puritan church, but she was prophetic and a powerful teacher. And she began talking to people, and she found that as she talked to people, they began to hear the voice of God for themselves.
Wow.
They began to have insights into the scripture, but the Puritan church at that time, male run, said the only way you can get your interpretation of the Bible is what the pastor says from the pulpit on Sunday. They didn't even encourage home study of the word.
Wow.
And so here was Anne and other women. She led a move, and she wasn't a militant feminist.
Right.
She was a prophetic woman of God who prayed. And not only women, but men started coming to her house and to the house of other women, and they were hearing the voice of God. The Bible was getting open to them.
Beautiful.
They were studying the word. She was truly an equipper. So she was moving as almost an apostolic, prophetic equipper of the saints.
Wow.
As they came into this discovery. They deemed her and others a witch. And what I propose is, and I have some historical support for that, is not all the witches that were killed at the Salem witch trials were Satan worshipers.
Right.
They were women who dared to believe they could hear the voice of God, and so they deemed them crazy or demonic or demonized.
Yes.
And so that movement, there might have been women into the occult, which they, mm-hmm. in that whole desire will be for you, this resentment. They got demonized a bit. They got into some false teaching.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But not all the women were Satan-worshipping witches. They were
I totally agree.
Prophetic,
apostolic,
godly women.
Exactly. But David, thank you for writing this book side by side. I highly recommend all the listeners pick up this book, get it on Amazon, check out our show notes, more about Dave Hess, for more about Christ Community Church, and two other amazing books, Hope Beyond Reason. Again, 25 years ago, God miraculously healed you, and the whole story of how that happened. It's an amazing story. Wow. How God showed up supernaturally and did that. And then for people who are disappointed, maybe you prayed for someone and they went to be with the Lord, you think too prematurely, or you prayed for someone and for something to happen, it didn't turn out the way you thought. And David wrote this great book, Hope Beyond Disappointment, and how we can find great hope in the midst of the disappointments that we live through. I have one more question for my friend David has today.
Go ahead.
Anything else you want our listeners to know about leadership?
Wow. Well, Jesus said the leader of all is a servant of all.
Yes.
We do it from a servant heart.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. Mm. I would say enjoy it. Don't view it as a duty, something you have to do. Don't complain about the people. It seems almost been normalized that pastors are going to complain about sheep bite.
Yeah.
But you know, sheep can complain about being barbecued by shepherds.
It's true.
You know, and leaders can really are in a vantage point where they can really hurt people from their position. So I would say just learn to chill more in the Holy Spirit. Enjoy life. They'll enjoy you. Value the people around you. There's a wonderful book I just picked up and read part of it. It's called Turn the Ship Around.
Mm.
And it's written by an officer in the Navy who was given the job of taking a submarine out with the potential lieutenants and training them how to lead.
That's amazing.
And what he did, there's several things he did, but the two that stick with me. One, he said, I found that when I asked more questions and I involved them in the process, they rose to become better
leaders.
That is
so critical. Say that again. That's a key leadership principle.
Ask more questions. Yeah. Don't come. Top-down leadership doesn't work.
Right.
And see, he was given the job because all of the others that took the boat out on this submarine school did top-down leadership. And yes, sir, no, sir, whatever you say, sir. He pulled them out. And then he also included them in the process of if you have a problem, when you come to process it with me, we're coming to discern together. He doesn't use that word, but that's basically, I don't think he's a believer, because just warning, there's a couple salty sailor words in there. But he said, when you come and we're going to basically discern together how to resolve a problem, don't just drop the problem on me. Come with two or three solutions and come with the one that you think is the best of the solutions.
Good.
And then let's go from there. Well, they rose to the occasion. And when that sub used to come back, a small percentage of the lieutenants actually made it in leadership.
Right.
His sub would come back and they all thrived.
Amazing.
And it was those things. And it's really what Jesus taught us. It's what he modeled.
Yeah, he sure did.
So we have the mind of Christ, not I have the mind of Christ.
If you
think as a leader you have to have the mind of Christ, you need
you're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
Dave Hess, thank you so much for giving your time, not only in this podcast, but the other two podcasts.
Oh, glad to.
We honor you and the role you have in the body of Christ, you and Sherry, Christ Community Church and beyond.
And
look forward to many more years of serving the body of Christ together.
Yeah, we got some years in us, don't we, Larry?
We have some years in us, more than we admit sometimes.
Yeah.
It's been a good run.
I always tell everybody, you know, we're not millennials, we're perennials. we look like we're dying every year, but we come back. So
yeah, we do.
So
we are
still clicking.
Still love your one-liners. Awesome. Well, everyone, check out the show notes. Check out Dave's books, the three I mentioned today. Check out any other information about Christ Community Church. Dave Hess. Again, we want to continue to help you find ways that you can grow in leadership. And we're looking forward to week after week continuing to serve you by giving leadership insights that will be a blessing to you and help you grow. So God bless you.
Thank you
for joining us today for the Larry Carr Leadership Podcast. And Dave Hess, thank you for being here. We appreciate
it. Good to be here.
God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryKreider.com.